Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. And you're listening to that show. And I'm here. We got our good friend Jerry Ripperger back on the show. Jerry is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 8 years. He's director of consulting at Financial Group, and he's here to talk to us about, we're celebrating National Employee Ownership Month, ESOP Month. How about that, Jerry?
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be back.
ESOP month, huh?
Yeah, National Employee Ownership Month. It's an opportunity for us to recognize that employees, there's 10.3 million of them in the United States.
Wow. How many businesses does that represent?
It's about 11,000 companies.
11,000 companies in the United States are owned and operated by the employees, having been purchased from the founders, essentially, probably, right?
Generally, yes.
So
about 40% of those are 100% owned by the employees. So
100%. So half of those are 100%. So the original owners retain some stock.
Sure, and it's very common. In fact, that's one of the big misconceptions about ESOPs.
Right. I tell you what, Jerry. Before we get into that, let's set the table a little bit better. Tell the audience. I just got through telling them it's an employee stock program. But tell the audience about what, let's go back to the definition, what an ESOP is and how they get started.
Sure. ESOP, at its core, is a qualified defined contribution retirement plan, very similar to a 401k or other type of retirement plans. What make is it's invested primarily in the common stock of that sponsoring company. An ESOP has the ability to borrow money, which is a prohibited transaction in any other retirement plan.
Right, right.
So what it does is that plan can borrow money to create that liquidity event so that the owner can sell all or part of the company. What it creates is a very flexible tool for a business owner that's looking for a succession strategy or perhaps wants to diversify their holdings, so they're looking to create liquidity. So it's a very flexible tool. It has incredible power to align the interests of the employees and the company so that we're all rowing in the direction.
So let's say you got a company that's really been successful, the founder is ready to move on, and he or she could sell the business to a bigger company, could be absorbed by a bigger company, but he also knows that could lead to disruption of the business, disruption of the employees. They've helped build the company. So an ESOP, offering the company to the employees, is one of his options, right? Or her options. That would be one of the options. And, he didn't build his business to give it away. But, I mean, the owner probably does have some affinity, some interest in helping the employees. And you got to have the right kind of employees too. You got to have folks who can actually take over this thing, right?
Sure. And what an ESOP doesn't do, it doesn't change the management structure. You're still going to have your management team in place.
Yeah.
We're not making decisions in the break room. Go hands. We're still running the company as we've ran it before.
Right. With professional executives.
All we're doing is aligning the interest and making the beneficial owners be part of that process.
Right.
Oftentimes when you talk to that business owner who's contemplating the sale of their company, there's obviously a financial consideration there, but there's also, as you've already touched upon, there's the legacy consideration.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people are pillars of their communities. Employers, they've helped fund the Rotary, the Kiwanis, all these different types of organizations. And in today's environment where our businesses are increasingly, the value is tied up in intangibles like patents, trademark, ESOP is a way to help that company stay local and to help continue to build that community. And ESOP isn't a guarantee the company won't be sold. ESOPs sell to other companies. But if the owners are the employees in the community, that company is way more likely to stay there and grow.
And I can also see where the customers would like that, because more than likely, the customers are dealing with those employees who are now owners.
Yeah, customers like stability.
Yeah.
They like to know that where the company's going to be, who's going to own it, who's going to be there.
Well, one of the things about what you said was that the ESOP, you know, one of the problems for a business, a privately owned business, is getting the cash out. And the smaller the business, the harder it is to get to for a prospective buyer to be able to come up with the cash. And many times, A person who's qualified to buy the company may not be able to come up with the money, so the owner has to take back a bunch of paper. They have to take back a bunch of paper. You're saying that an ESOP can actually borrow the money to pay off partially or fully the owner?
Yeah, it's a very flexible.
That's a very exciting component.
You can borrow from a bank, a third-party lender, oftentimes the seller, because an ESOP is a structured sale typically. 3 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that selling owner very well may know they're going to be engaged still for the next 3 to 7 years. They may want to take back some of that paper as an investment.
Right. But they don't want to take all of it back. They'd probably want to get at least 50%.
Yeah, and typically because there's going to be some tax consequences when you sell the company.
Right.
So typically they're going to want upfront cash either to diversify their portfolio or for tax planning purposes.
Right. And so this is the folks, let me ask you a question. What is the smallest ESOP in terms of a number of employees that you've ever seen?
Oh, we've seen them down in single digits.
Really?
Yeah. Now I would offer you that probably wouldn't recommend that.
Right.
For a lot of different reasons.
But what would be the smallest, most viable, what would be the most viable small number that you would say? 20?
Yeah, that would be a good rule of thumb to use. In general, you do have to have a minimum size, but kind of looking for a business that's worth at least $3 to $5 million.
Okay.
Probably producing, you know, net profits $500,000 plus.
Right.
Type of situation.
So it needs to be profitable, otherwise you're not going to be able to borrow the money. It needs to have some critical mass, otherwise you're not going to be able to borrow the money. And then you need to have double digit at least.
Yeah, typically, yes. And without going into a whole bit, particularly if you're an S-Corp, there's some anti-abuse testing you have.
Right. Now, we're not going to get into the weeds. Come back. We're going to talk about some of the misconceptions about an ESOP. This is exciting, folks. I hope some of you are out there are considering an ESOP if you're looking to divest of yourself or your company. Jerry Ripperger is with the Principal Group. He and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.